Genesis 24, verses 1 through 4 and verse 15. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." Verse 15. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah was born, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with water, the water jar, on her shoulder. This is the word of the Lord. Well, Genesis, as you know, is the book of beginnings, beginning of the creation of the world as we know it, the beginning of God's relationship with human beings on earth, and the beginning of God's, of the world's civilization, I should say, the scattering of people over the face of the earth. Unfortunately, it's also the recorded beginning of sin's dominance in the earth through sin's ugly consequences. In chapter 24 of Genesis, we have Abraham desiring to find a bride or a wife for his only promised son, Isaac. She must be special because this is the only son that God promised Sarah and I. Now, in this Asian world, this was not an uncommon practice. It's not an uncommon practice to this day among other cultures, that there would be what we would call prearranged marriages. It's this young son, Isaac, who before this, he was considered as good as dead. As he was taken one day, he was tied up, he was laid on an altar of sacrifice, although he was fully alive. Isaac was placed on that altar by his own father. As unthinkable as it may sound, his father Abraham was acting out of obedience to God's explicit command, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son." But it was through Abraham's obedience, his obvious obedience, that God honored that faith and obedience. And miraculously, Isaac was raised from this now symbolic place of death, the altar, by the miracle working power and providence of God, because Abraham heard just at the right time as he was about to carry out God's command and kill his son. Just as he raised that knife, he heard a ram in the bush, the bleeding of that ram. And Abraham knew that God had provided a sacrifice in place of Isaac. And Isaac was raised up from that altar. Isaac has experienced much as a young lad. And now he's at the age of being married. And Abraham sets out to find a wife, a suitable mate for him. As we read in verses 1 through 4, and I'll read again quickly, it says that Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, a man of much tenure, I should say, who had charge of all that he had. So this was a man that Abraham trusted implicitly. "Put your hand under my thigh." Now this was an act of that was often used in these ancient times, an act of oath taking. that I may swear, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife from among the daughters of the Canaanites. This is serious. I want you to swear that you will only take a wife for my son from the peoples in which I will instruct you. I live among the Canaanites now, and I don't want him to marry a Canaanite. But I want you to go to my country. I want you to go to my kindred. I want you to go to the place that I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with their history and with their culture and with their practices and their moral compass. I want you to go among them and take a wife for my son Isaac. The biblical story begins with Abraham taking this oath and making a covenant with the servant who would be tasked with finding this woman. What an awesome task it was. The oath share between the two of them included the specific instruction that the servant, as I just mentioned, acting on behalf of Isaac's father, Abraham, would find a wife for his son Isaac. But this wife for Isaac had at least one uncompromising requirement. The future wife of Isaac was not to come from among the Canaanites. Don't forget that. They were a barbaric, godless, neighboring nation. But Isaac's wife was to be specifically chosen from among the population of the Ur of the Chaldees. Even Abraham's own larger extended family, that is, someone from his community. Abraham knew a lot about these people, and that's where I want you to find Isaac's wife. Father Abraham must have felt confident the servant would be successful in his assignment, because we can be sure Abraham knew from the creation story that woman was made for man. So why would God not provide a suitable mate for his son, Isaac? In that same creation story, we also hear the words of the Lord Almighty after the creation of Adam when he says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" My second observation is this. Notice that the father, Abraham, that his thoughts were not about himself. He didn't say, "I want you to find the perfect daughter-in-law." He says, "I want you to find a wife for my son, Isaac." All of his thoughts were about his son, Isaac. It was for the glory of his son, Isaac. She would be a woman of great character and one of a beautiful spirit. She would do just that, as she would be the glory for his son. I know something about a woman being the glory of a man. And I'm sure my other brothers here know that as well. "I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven." This mission was not only important to Abraham, but it was critical for the son of Abraham, Isaac. Verse 10, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of expensive gifts from the abundance of the master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, which is currently the region that consists of parts of Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Kuwait. "Go to the city of Nahor." And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, let her say this, drink, and I will also water your camels. Let her be the one to whom you have appointed for my servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master Abraham. In essence, verses 10 through 14 describes the servants departing. He takes 10 camels. He also takes servants with him. It's not mentioned here, but it's mentioned further in this chapter. Several of his servants with him, and a variety of special gifts from his master, Abraham, that would eventually be given to the bride. We're familiar with this culture also. It's continued to this very day in many parts of the world. The servant obediently leaves the safety of the father's house in search for a wife for his son. He arrives in the city of Nahor to water his camels, and it happened to be a strategic time because the young women of the community would be at the wells gathering water for their family's livestock. Since there would be several young women at the well, how would the servant know which special woman was the one God wants for his son Isaac? Remind you, let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink and I will water your camels. Let her be the one. Not just any female. Wasn't desperate. Not just any female would be suitable for this father's son. She must be chosen by God. Did you notice the word appointed that I read a moment ago? Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. It couldn't be just any woman. After all, this chosen vessel of a woman will be Isaac's forever, and Isaac will be hers forever. Their love will be exclusive, and they will never be apart. He will never leave her or forsake her. Isaac, in no doubt, is the object of the father's love. And now Isaac's bride will be the object of Isaac's steadfast love. So the servant wants it to be the right woman for Isaac. Thus the servant's prayer, so he would know God's will in this matter. And before the servant finished speaking, the Bible says, a young woman came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and her name was Rebekah. She was very attractive in appearance, although that wasn't what was asked of the Lord. She was very attractive in appearance, and she was a virgin. She had never been with a man. When Rebekah went to the well to draw water, Abraham's servant ran to her, and he asked her for water. She let down her jar and gave him something to drink, verse 17 says. And when the servant finished drinking, Rebekah turned to him and said, you know what she said, right? I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Verse 21 says that the servant was stunned. Have you ever been stunned how quickly God and precisely God answers your prayers? No sooner than he could finish speaking, God had already brought the answer to that prayer. He was stunned. He looked at her in silence, the Bible says. He couldn't believe what God had done. He then proceeds to give the young woman a gold ring for her nose. Oh, it didn't take him long to know this was the one. God had confirmed it. And two bracelets for her arms, verse 22. Verse 23 says, the servant asked about her family. Whose daughter are you? Where do you come from? And he also asked her something that I consider to be bold, but may have been perfectly normal. Is there room for me to spend the night? Now, not spend the night with her, spend the night with her family. She tells the servant about her family and says they have plenty of straw and fodder, and they have room enough for him to spend the night. She's not only a woman beautiful physically, but she's a woman who has a beautiful spirit, and she's hospitable. Upon her response, Abraham's servant bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Lord, you have answered my prayer. When God answers our prayer, it's not for us to grab whatever it is that God has provided for us, but it is for us to pause and thank God for what God has done. It reminds us that God is mindful of us, and God hears us, and God is attentive to our prayers, and God is faithful as a father to provide for us the things that we desire. He bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Rebecca ran to tell her family. She ran to tell her family about this experience. She's met a servant. She hasn't met Isaac yet, but she's met a servant. And look what he's given me. She shows up at her parents' house with a ring in her nose and bracelets on her arms. And where did you get all this? And then you notice something else I had noticed. The servant ran after Rebecca when he first saw her. And now Rebecca is running to her to tell her story to her family about this man who has given me these gifts and said that they are on behalf of the young man he represents. Verse 29 says, Rebecca has a brother. His name was Laban. Laban also ran out to meet this servant. He saw the ring, and he saw, it was a gold ring, by the way, and he saw the bracelets on her arm. He ran out to meet this guy. Who is this guy trying to pick up my sister? We have a third person running. All this running around should tell us something. There's genuine excitement about what's going on. This is the work of God, and it's marvelous in our eyes. God is at work in this. Laban, the brother of Rebekah, ran out to the man who was still standing at the well of the spring. There is genuine excitement. Who is this man who has this kind of resource? Where does he come from? Who does he represent? I'm sure Laban wondered. In verse 30, Laban invites the man into their home. He says, "Why are you still standing outside? Come on home with us." He feeds and waters the man's 10 camels. And he then asks the man to tell his story. Where do you come from and why are you here? Why do you have an interest in Rachel, my sister? The servant tells him and his family, Laban and his family, his story, his mission, and how he's acting on behalf of his master, who is a great man. And here is his task. You will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son, Isaac. That's why I'm here, Laban. I'm Abraham's servant. Let me tell you a little bit more about my master Abraham. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. You might want to sit down when I tell you this. He actually has become great. The Lord has given him flocks and herds. The Lord has given him silver and gold. The Lord has given him male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. and to him he has given all that he has. The servant now begins to tell Rebekah and her family about this master. The master Abraham for whom he worked, the servant begins to testify about the goodness of God towards his master by saying, "The Lord has blessed my master." The servant can't seem to stop talking about the goodness of the Lord and how the Lord has blessed Master Abraham. God has honored the obedient faith of Abraham by directing his steps, and now God is about to fulfill the promise made to Abraham. "And in your offspring shall all of the families or nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice," Genesis 22:18. As a result of the Lord blessing my master Abraham, he has become great. The father of Isaac, Rebekah, he has possessions that are vast. His faith is also strong. His name is notable and his character is impeccable. I'm sure the servant could say Abraham was faithful. He's trustworthy and he is dependable. He may have even said, "Abraham has been good to me and to my family. He's a kind employer and he's a man of integrity." Did I tell you about his holdings? Well, you told us. Yeah, you told us some things. Well, that's not all he has. Let me tell you about my master, the father of a chosen son. He doesn't just have a single flock of livestock or a single herd of camels, but he has flocks and herds of each. He is rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In addition to this, my servant, he owns silver and gold. He has a diversified portfolio. His wealth is not all concentrated on livestock. He has silver and gold. His holdings are so vast that he also has both male and female servants to help manage his fortune. Abraham has been blessed by the Lord. I'm sure Rebekah has listened intently. No doubt, as he continues, "And Rebekah, all that the father has been given to his son. Your husband, if you will go. And if you will let me take you to him, all the father has given to the son will then be yours." It's yours, Rebekah. Oh, you've got to meet him. He is unique and he's unrivaled. There's none greater than him in all of the earth. He is anointed and he is appointed by God. He's a man of destiny. He's dutiful and he's devout. There is none like him. You've got to get to know him, Rebekah. Servant may have even said something like this: "Oh, if I stood here all day long, Rebekah, I wouldn't be able to tell you all there is to know about my master." We digress just for a moment by reminding you, my audience, it's the role of the servant, the Holy Spirit, to attract the heart of Rebekah to Isaac, the son, by telling her all about the attributes of the father. What does the servant say about Master Abraham? If I were to sum it up, Rebekah, I would say, he's wonderful. I want you to take further note that Abraham in this story represents God the Father. And Isaac represents God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant is here representing the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16:14 says this of the Holy Spirit: "He will glorify me." If you notice, the servant never mentioned his name. He didn't speak of his title, his responsibilities. He only spoke of the Father and the Son. "He will take what is mine and declare it to you. John also says, as he speaks about the Holy Spirit as the helper or the paraclete in the Greek, the one who goes alongside of us. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will give or bear witness about me. John 15:26, and this is exactly what the servant is doing. In fact, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal both the Father and the Son. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. John 15:26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will bear witness about me. The servant goes on to explain how meeting Rebecca was an answer to his prayer. When she shows great hospitality in not only offering him water, but watering his camels. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. And verse 47 says, he put a ring on her nose and bracelets on her arm. Rebecca was the chosen bride of Isaac. The servant set his affections on Rebecca and claimed her by giving her these gifts and made it official. Now, after having spoken to Rebecca, Laban, her brother, the entire family of Rebecca, verse 54 says, after they spent the night, when they arose in the morning, the servant says to his host's family, it's time for you to send me away. It's time to go. With the knowledge his mission has been successful, the servant says, it's time to leave and go back to my master. He says, I want her to go with me. I want to take Rebecca to my master's son. Verse 57 says, the parents called Rebecca and first told the servant, let us call the woman and you ask her. So they called Rebecca and the parents looked at her and said, will you go with this man? There's not much said about the son specifically in this story, but all you need to know is the son proceeds from the father. And you know the father is great and will not withhold anything from his son. Remember, all that the father has been given to the son, Isaac. The son, as we remember, is obedient to his father, even to the point of death. Father, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Isaac was the sacrifice. The Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son, and they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus says in John 17:21, Rebecca, when you say yes to the Son, you are saying yes to the Father. Will you go with this man? Seemingly didn't take her long. She had heard the testimony, the sweet testimony from the servant hitting her ears about the goodness and the greatness and the kindness and the loving nature of the Father of the Son. And she says, yes, I will go. I'll go even though I've never seen him. Because based on your word, I can trust him. Yes, I will go because based on your word, I've heard that I can depend on him. I'll go because the word of the servant has told me I can lean on him when times get tough. yes, I'll go because the servant's word has told me he'll be there for me when the going gets rough. Yes, I'm going with this man because based on the word, he can supply my every need. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no limit to his resources. His reputation is unequaled and his record is without blemish. His name is great in all the earth. Yes, I will go. Will you come now, Rebecca? Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. He's waiting for you right now. Right now. He has all things ready. There's a place set for you at his table where there's always food. You will never go hungry or lack satisfaction. He will provide for your every need. Rebecca, will you go with this man? Yes, I'll go. Rebecca, don't turn him away. Yes, I will go. Don't frustrate God, the Father's will for you and his son. Don't reject this call. Will you go with this man? Oh, it doesn't matter. Don't listen to Mama, who wants you to stay a few more days. Don't listen to Daddy. Don't listen to what sister or brother has to say. Rebecca dropped her water pots of doubt, stood up and said, yes, I will go. I won't keep him waiting any longer. He's been waiting for me. And I've been waiting for this moment, this opportunity and this kind of love. Yes, I will go. Because I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. May I ask you this morning, will you go with this man? He's waiting. He will give you a new life, a new hope. He will change your name. You will become his bride and the Father's favorite son, Isaac. Everything Jesus has is ours. If you'll claim him as yours, he's prepared a place for you. All his inheritance is our inheritance. We will become and have become joint heirs with Christ. Glory be to the God of Abraham and Isaac. May I ask you again, will you go with this man? What are you holding on to? Drop that water pot and go with this man. He's come specifically for you, Rebecca. And may I say to my audience, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit specifically for you. He has laid claim on your life. The Bible says Rebecca dropped the water pot, rose up, climbed on that camel of faith, and went to see a man she'd never seen before. And as my Old Testament professor said, and she was never to return. If you'll go with this man, I've never seen the face of Jesus, and neither has you, have you. He hasn't been seen since the first century. But I've gone to him. And I won't turn back. Then Rebecca and her young women arose, rode on the camels, and followed the man. Say yes to him. Will you say yes? Will you go with this man? What are you holding on to? What are you waiting for? A better opportunity will never come your way. He's waiting to receive you right now. Will you? say yes. Will you say yes? Can you say yes? Why don't you? Say yes. I will go with this man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is through your word that we become endeared to you. Because the Holy Spirit, represented by this servant, has told us of the wonderful things you are and how you love us. And all things are at our disposal. Oh Lord, may the words of this gospel story found in Genesis, the old covenant, may they resonate in our ears and in our heart. And if there's someone who's under the sound of my voice or even hears the recorded sermon at some point in time in the future, I pray too that they would say yes to your will and yes to your way. I pray it in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. As our heads are bowed, we have a wonderful opportunity to confess our sins before the Lord.